Nursery Rhyme Rock for Winona Carr. And, of course, that's celebrating rhyme, of course, which is poetry. And that all ties in somehow. California Poets in the Schools. So we have Meg Hamill here with us. Hello.
Hello.
And welcome. And, well, let's just start with your actual organization so people know, you know, what it is and what it does. So could you give a brief history of how it started and
absolutely
what it's done?
Absolutely. So California Poets in the Schools is an old poetry organization. We're one of the oldest and largest artist in residency organizations in the country. And we were started in 1964 out of San Francisco State, the Poetry Center there. And we've been going strong ever since. So our mission is to empower youth through writing and performing poetry. And we train poet teachers throughout the state to get into classrooms and model the artistic life, but also help kids become poets. Mm-hmm. That's really what we're all about. So we've been around a long time, and we've reached, we estimate, around 1 million kids in those years. Yeah,
that's a heck of a lot of poems out
there. It is, yeah.
Under the bridge. Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Anything that can take kids beyond their norm, that's the key with it, isn't it?
Exactly.
When you see that transformation.
Exactly. So, you know, this work is really... it's really important work. And what we see time and again when we go into classrooms as poet teachers is that youth are hungry for a way to express themselves, and they're hungry for a sense of belonging amongst their peers. And when we bring poetry into the classroom and offer everyone the opportunity to get up and speak their mind and really show their heart on their sleeve in a safe way, and the entire class is there accepting them and not judging them, it's really work in teaching empathy and breaking down stereotypes and kind of gathering in the whole class so that everyone feels a connection to each other, a connection to the creative process. It's a powerful, powerful process.
Well, just that fact alone, I'm just thinking back to my own school days, you know, there would have been a lot of, ribbing and stuff, you know, oh, you're doing some silly poetry or whatever, you know, it wouldn't be accepted as much. But it sounds like you build that acceptance into the process then.
Exactly. So the way our residencies work, we bring these published poets for at least 5 sessions, ideally more. We like to stay in a classroom as long as we can because the power really builds over time. And we're introducing the youth to great works of art. So we're bringing in famous poems, really poems that the poet teacher loves and thinks the kids will be able to relate to, representing a wide cultural diversity that we have here in Sonoma County, but also here in California. And breaking it down, figuring out what's going on in that poem, and then inviting the kids to kind of practice some of those techniques that were working so well in that famous poem. So they're getting access to great literature. They're kind of learning their craft and their poetic techniques while they're breaking it down, and then they're putting those techniques immediately into practice. And so it really does... you know, we found that most kids produce a poem every single time. It's you know, some kids don't, but I'd say 95% of the kids we work with are writing a poem every single time. Mm. And, you know, we set ourselves goals around that. By the end of the residency, we hope that everyone will have created a poem that is publishable, for one of our publications. And I can talk about that in a while. But people dive right in. Yeah, the process is open and comfortable for kids. Mm. And so everyone feels good taking part.
Right, so broken down like that makes it a bit more easier to chew for kids, not so intimidating maybe.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's I do notice, as you mentioned, a lot of people have kind of a and older people have a bit of a fear of poetry. Right. And there's kind of like a wound that happened there at some point. And that's definitely not what we're doing in poetry class. We're trying to make it fun, interesting, anything goes. Grammar goes out the window. All the rules of writing that make writing scary can go out the window. And the kids can just have fun writing their heart and writing their soul down on paper and performing it.
Wow. So in 60, do you have, interesting, from 1964 to now, that's obviously a lot of poems, but how they've changed over the years from different groups must be very, very interesting.
It is amazing to see what kids are into now. You know, a lot of spoken word is popular now, and we have some of our poet teachers who are very experienced in that, and we have others who are doing a more classic approach. But kids are open. I've found most kids are open to pretty much anything they're presented with, trying it. You know, they're at least willing to try it on. Yeah.
Well, that's it, isn't it? If kids aren't ready for new things, who is?
Exactly. Yes.
But it's interesting. I was interviewing Roger McGough, a British poet, a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying in Britain there's quite a renaissance in poetry. It's huge.
Yep.
Hasn't quite got to that stage here yet, has it? Or what's happening in that respect?
Well, he and I might have been reading some similar articles, but I think here in the United States there's some good energy happening around poetry, especially with youth here in Sonoma County and across the country. We have Poetry Out Loud. I don't know if you've heard of that program, but it's bringing to life famous poems. So it's set up like the spelling bee, and high school students are performing, they're memorizing and performing great works of literature in front of an audience, and then being sort of judged at different levels. They start with their classroom and then they move on to the school and the countywide and the statewide, ultimately going to Washington, D.C. to perform against someone from every state. So there's cool programs like that are popping up that have not been around for too long. And I think there's a lot of new energy around bringing poetry to life. I do not think it's a dying art by any means.
Oh my goodness, I hope not. It's been with us from the beginning.
Exactly.
You know, shouldn't go away.
No.
In fact, we need it now more than ever,
I would say.
We
sure do, yep.
Make some sense out of this world.
Exactly.
That's what poetry does, isn't it? Ultimately, it's somebody trying to put a thought down, an idea down, something to tell somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I have this great quote that I love from Rebecca Solnit, and she says, "The process of making art is the process of becoming a person with agency, with independent thought, a producer of meaning rather than a consumer of meaning." And I think when I go into the classroom and teach youth, that's a really important thing that I think we're doing, is teaching kids how to think about what they think about something and get it down on paper, or what do they feel inside, and put that down on paper, give it a voice. And there's something about that process that is very empowering and allows kids some of the kids find poetry and they really find their thing, and it's their thing forever. Whether or not they're going to go out and be a famous poet, you know, probably not. There's not a whole lot of us that do, but there's something very healing about writing poetry, and the kids who find it and connect with that, they, you know, it's a very helpful tool that can stay with you for your whole life.
Well, that goes back to, let's talk about you then.
Right.
At some point, can you tell us about your background and what inspired you through the years to where you are?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's a good question how someone really comes to poetry. And I do think having a artist come into the classroom can be that connection for a lot of kids. So when I was a young person, I was lucky enough to have a family member who was a practicing poet. My aunt Mary, who I was very close with, was a poet. And so I had a model of someone who was a poet. And even though my grandfather was constantly telling her that was a little bit crazy to be a poet, she did it anyway. She got her MFA and she was living that life. And so when I was in seventh grade, I did have someone come into the classroom and do a workshop fairly similar to what California Poets in the Schools is doing with young people today. And I think both of those things for me were the catalyst for my interest in poetry. I was a shy kid. I wasn't very comfortable speaking out loud my feelings and what was going on inside. But I quickly realized that I could write it down and then toss it in the trash can and no one would ever know. But still the same benefit of process was accomplished. And I could get my thoughts out. I mean, that's an important part of being alive is processing things and getting our thoughts out and our feelings out and finding a way to talk it through, whether it's with yourself on a piece of paper right. or with somebody else. But for me, it just made me feel better in my life. I realized it was pretty quickly that it was a helpful tool for me. I didn't really have high hopes or dreams, but that feeling of it being a healing tool, just I kept doing it. And it was really the only thing I found in those years in school that I really loved. And so I stuck with it. And I went to college pursuing poetry, which, again, my grandfather told me was a little bit crazy, but I did it anyway. And I went on and got my MFA. And while I was getting my MFA, I was asking myself a lot of questions why I was doing this. An MFA is a very expensive process, and there are no job prospects on the other side of it. But it felt important for me to do it, to take it as far as I could and then just see what happened. So, and now here I am in the service of poetry, which feels great. Yeah.
That's pretty special, isn't it?
It is.
The magic can happen.
It can happen, yeah. And one of the beautiful things about this program is it's wonderful for the kids, but it's also, it's amazing for the poets too, because it gives poets across the state an opportunity to give back to their community and to become a part of the community, really. And some of our poet teachers have been with us since the very beginning, and they've become a fixture in some schools for 20, 30, 40 years.
Oh my goodness.
And so it's, you know, when you get to that level, there's something that's happening it sort of transcends a lot of things. It's giving these artists a way to really be a meaningful part of their town. So,
right.
Yep.
Ooh, that is it's getting me all fired up over again. It's wonderful. With all the various cuts going on in schools for all the various arts programs, I mean, it's amazing that it has kept on going. How is it funded?
Great question. Our program is cherished by many, many, many schools because it ties right into the standards. And, the schools are, most teachers and principals, they want arts. They want the arts in the schools. But it's hard to justify sometimes. And if you have a program that involves literacy, it involves boosting literacy skills in a really fun and engaging way that ties right into the standards, then people open their doors pretty quickly for that. And so a lot of our program is funded through schools who have the funding to pay for such a program. And, you know, around here in Sonoma County, that's about half of the schools that we work with.
Okay.
And the other half, we're in about 30 schools here in Sonoma County. The other half of the schools are funded through grants. So we get a Creative Sonoma grant we've gotten a Creative Sonoma grant the past few years. Prior to that, it was through the Community Foundation here in Sonoma County. So locally, each county is working with its local community foundation and its local funders to raise money for those schools that can't afford it on their own. So we're targeting about 15 schools here in Sonoma County that are in underserved neighborhoods or are considered at risk in one way or another, and we're offering them a subsidized program. And that's true throughout the state. We're trying to target schools that really need this, and so we've got grant funding coming in. There's always a need for more funding for poetry, of course. So we're always in need of more support when it comes down to just keeping the lights on and keeping a roof over our heads. A lot of the money that comes in through the schools goes directly into the pocket of the poet teacher, which is great because we're happy that poet teachers can find some money through the organization. We're not a well-funded organization at our core. Mm-hmm. At our core base, we're just a few people working, and doing our best.
Doing your best.
Yeah, we've been around a long time, so we're doing something right.
Well, that's it, isn't it? That's the proof of the pudding.
Yep, exactly.
So, well, why don't you, I know you brought some poetry along.
Yes.
Why don't you read some?
Sure. Would you like me to read a student's poem or one of my own?
Well, let's start off with a student's poem as an example. Then let's do one of yours.
How's that? So I'm going to read, I'll read a poem from the California Poets in the Schools statewide anthology that came out in 2017. So another thing California Poets in the Schools is doing is publishing an anthology of student work. We try to do that annually, but this year we're skipping years, so it will come out next fall again in 2019. And we're giving young people an opportunity to see their work in print.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is part of the deal, right?
Oh,
that's
yes.
part of what makes
it
official.
It still works, even with all the technology, a book.
Exactly.
It's still pretty heavy, yeah.
Right. So this is an anthology, a collection of student poems from across the state. But I'm going to read a poem in this anthology that came out of Sonoma County. This is a poem by Damaris Mejia, fifth grader at Miwok Language Academy. Their classroom teacher was Heidi Doughty, and the poet teacher was Jackie Huss-Hallerberg. This is called The Work of Hands. With these hands, I have held my sister tight many times to control her from her fear of spiders. With these hands, I have shaken the hands of many kind strangers at church. These hands are simple creatures that can't wait to hold and touch everything in sight. These hands are beautiful dogs running through a flower field, running away from reality. My hands remember the smooth harness of the hospital bed when I was finally ready to go back outside to explore the world. My hands remember touching the beautiful stingray's slimy skin in this cold, salty water. My hands will one day enter the stuffed airport flying to Mexico to look for my father, where I will finally get to hug him for the first time ever.
Wow.
Wow, it's pretty much all you can say. I mean,
yeah, especially with what's been happening of late, that really hits home, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So with a bit of a structure and some prompts, the kids are encouraged to go deep inside and find something there, just lay
very
it out
personal.
There.
Just
yeah,
very
personal.
Yeah, exactly. Very personal.
You want to hear one more?
I would love to.
Okay, let's
that
hear
was
one more
incredible.
Student poem.
How old was...
Fifth grade.
Fifth grade, okay.
Yep.
Wow.
Let's read this one. This is called My Dad. This is Elisandro Garibay Abundis from James Monroe Elementary School. A sixth grader, classroom teacher Mike Persinger, and the poet teacher was Phyllis Meshulam. My dad, whose eyes look like the moon in outer space, whose hair feels like a porcupine's back, whose voice sounds like a grizzly bear's deep roar, the one who drinks a lot of Coke, the only one who gave me hugs every time he saw me, the one who called me Junior. But when he went away, I could never have said goodbye. When my mom got the call, it felt like rain falling out of my eyes. Goodbye, Dad.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
I know. It brings chills.
It does.
Yeah.
That must be amazing for the teachers in there, just never knowing what's going to come out. Something so breathtaking.
Exactly. Know. I mean, a lot of the kids want to play with language all the time, and that's great too. You know, they just come out with a lot of beep beep ba da ba ba joop boop boop. But when I was teaching in the classroom, I would always urge the kids who were geared towards play, just at least once, try to write something serious, and vice versa. The kids who were very serious, every once, just once, try to go beep bop doop boop, just a little bit, and see what happens. You know, because both are fun. Both are right. different directions that poetry can go in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it. Keeping it broadening it out, isn't that's the whole broadening the experience.
Exactly.
You're going to do one of your own?
Sure. Yeah.
I'd love to.
So I have been writing not as much as I want to. I have two little children, and I get to it whenever I can. It's still very important, and my hope is, as they grow, to write more and more. But here's a recent poem. I dashed across the street to get old bread from your beard, to look into your eyes and hold your hand, lying on cardboard flattened, bottom covering up the puddle of vomit that was there when I got to you yesterday. You shouting, bleep, oh bleep, Jim or Jews could not make it out. I mean, I meant to clean your beard. I mean, I imagined doing this in my mind. I crawled in beside you and lay there with you for a while. I mean, I meant to. I mean, I imagined lying on the ground with you, or at least to offer up my kale and cheese pocket to you. But I stepped out instead and up the stairs where all of you are sitting in front of your computers, doing charity work every day, looking down on the hollering, sleeping people in the street. I love all of you, and later the violin people across the hall testing their bows, and I love them too. I want to climb up here in the closet and put old sheets over this head and sleep for a while. But the violins and the man hollering Jim bleep or bleep Jews, I couldn't make it out, make it difficult to sleep.
Oh, I like this. So great imagery all the way through. Lovely.
Sorry, I didn't realize there were some swear words in there, so I hope the bleeping was okay. To do a little on-air editing.
George Carlin will be proud of you.
Yes.
Tell us about the whole movie. It was in San Francisco, in the main office.
Yep.
And what has caused this, you know, whole change?
Sure.
And,
so we have actually been without an executive director for quite some time. And we have always been based in San Francisco. But the board last year decided it was time to bring on an executive director for a number of reasons. And our organization is ready for some changes and some innovation, and an executive director was part of that vision. So they went through a hiring process and ultimately found me. I've been involved with California Poets in the Schools for quite some time as a poet teacher, and more recently as the coordinator of the poets here in Sonoma County. But coming on as the executive director, I live here in Sonoma County, as does the chairman of the board and the vice president of the board. So we're all here. There's been multiple employees over the years, but most recently we have an employee in San Francisco who's leaving us. So we're going to be hiring staff up here. Mm. We're really moving our headquarters.
Right.
We still have one staff person who is based in San Francisco, and we're doing the virtual office experiment.
Right.
But here we are, and it's exciting to be here in the North Bay. You know, I think Sonoma County is ripe for more poetry. There's a lot going on here already, but right. I think it's an exciting place to bring this organization. Yeah.
Excellent. And it's nice to, obviously we do get a little bit more focus as your headquarters are here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the fallout, you know.
Right.
Obviously we have not just English, but Spanish and other languages, Native American languages are spoken. How does all that get worked into
Good question. Yeah. So part of our goal is to make sure that the poets in the classroom are representing the populations that we are teaching. And we do have a pretty diverse crew of poet teachers when you look around the state. A lot of us speak Spanish, and we're making sure when we're developing our curriculum to bring in poems that do reflect the populations that we're teaching and beyond. You know, we want kids to see not only the white canon, but the Latin American poets. You know, Latin America really loves their poets.
Oh, yes.
and cherishes them. And so just talking about that and the culture behind it is really exciting, I think, when we are here in Sonoma County. We have a lot of kids from Mexico and Central America. So making sure to bring in the poets that they've even heard of them,
right.
You know, and yeah, speaking Spanish is encouraged in our classes. Oftentimes when kids are writing poems, we encourage them to write in Spanish or include Spanish words or phrases to mix things up a little bit. And they often do.
Have kids who've done the program come back to be teachers themselves?
You know, that is something we talk about a lot. And it happens every now and again, but we don't have a whole lot of examples of that. Okay. Our kids go through the program and we hear a lot of stories from, recently I got an email from a woman in Marin who said both of her daughters who are grown up now, they went through our program and they've just maintained this love of poetry throughout their life. And they still go to the library and get books of poetry. And she attested that, you know, it was our program that brought that love to them. So my hope as executive director is to get some of these younger voices back in the fold. We don't offer full-time positions, so some young people have a hard time with the part-timeness of getting into the schools every once in a while to teach poetry. Right. There aren't benefits involved. I've found young people come, they stay for a little while, and then they go find a job that will give them benefits, and then they come back later. Yeah, it is one of my goals to make sure that we're bringing in younger, diverse poets here in Sonoma County and beyond to join our cadre of poet teachers.
A teacher listening to this, how would they get involved? What would be the process?
Yes, so, you know, getting in touch with me is a great place to start. It sounds like most of the listeners are probably local to Sonoma County, but you've got people listening in from all over the world. So
that's right.
We're serving people all over California. We have 100 poet teachers in, gosh, I don't know how many counties right now. But here in Sonoma County and beyond, a good place to start is to contact me. And you can reach me at info@cpits.org, info@cpits.org. That goes straight to my inbox. And just let me know what you're interested in, and we can set you up with a poet teacher who will be able to come into your classroom.
That sounds pretty easy.
It is. It's easy, yeah. So it's a great time to get in touch as well because the school year's starting.
Yes.
We haven't started scheduling our classes yet, but our poet teachers here in Sonoma County are gearing up for the year. So it's a really great time to get involved with the program.
Excellent. Got a couple more poems you'd like to read?
Would you like to hear one of mine? Or would you like to hear some more kids? I mean, the kids are hard to pass up, but I'll leave
both.
That up to you.
I want both. Okay. I loved your one.
Well, let's start with one more youth poem. Let's see what we have here. This is another poem from poet teacher Phyllis Meshulam's residency. This was also from James Monroe Elementary, sixth grade. Mike Persinger was the classroom teacher. And so this is Kathy Cardona. And she, again, a sixth grader. She titled her poem, "The Land of the Mountains." I am from the land of the mountains. My mom is a big, beautiful tulip. My dad is a green patch of grass. I'm the mountains throughout the earth. Hello, father, for only 3 years. Goodbye, father. I wish I could have said goodbye before you went away for more than 3 years. It gave me many tears. Before you went away, the mountains were tall, and I thought they were never ending until we reached the top, and I did not get to the bottom. You left me alone at the top of the mountain with only one flower that lights up my world. I call her mother. And the day you left, I saw no color. Goodbye, father. Well, we have a theme going on here tonight.
Oh, that's powerful.
I know. I did not plan all that, but the kids from Sonoma County are writing about their dads.
Yeah.
So here, let me read one of my own. One of my interests when I start putting big projects together is to kind of bring the ecological into the literature, because I'm very concerned, as I know many of us are, about what's going on
right.
ecologically with the planet, and I can't help but talk about that in my poetry. So this is called The Great Pacific Courage Patch, and I wrote this one. The Great Pacific Courage Patch. 87,000 metric tons of courage, three times the size of France, consisting of 40,000 metric tons of forsaken fishing nets, and estimated 8,000 metric tons of riffraff from the Japanese tsunami. Crates, bottles, plastic toys, toilet seats, Game Boy covers, microplastic pieces neglected from when you and I were six. Courage as far as the eye can see. Courage four times the size of California, twice the size of Texas, neglected into micro-courage. Courage ballooning, cypress trees angle east, whales freestyle, going polar, sundown west. Link arms, hold hands, brace against hurricane force. Courage, patch. watch bloating under sunset, wave a steady bluster, a raft of sea lions, skedaddles in the swell swooping in and out, freestyling. It's my birthday. We've deserted our hamster wheel for the night to press our well-worn chests into the wind and sling prayers to the wind, to the lions, to the courage patch, to the sea.
Poetry out of garbage.
Oh, that garbage patch. What are we going to do?
I know. Yeah, I, a number of years ago, I interviewed Captain Morgan, the guy who discovered the garbage patch. He just drove his boat through it and said, "What's going on here?"
Right. Wow.
Incredible person, and his efforts to get it recognized.
Yep, exactly.
Amazing.
Yep, it's going to take a lot of courage to figure it out, to figure all these problems out. But poetry can help.
Well, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It crystallizes the mind, mm-hmm. helps you see things
exactly.
a bit better.
Yep, exactly.
Technology.
Yeah.
How has that adapted to or changed poetry?
Ah, great question. One of the things that we're really excited about, and a lot of our poet teachers are being trained in this right now, is using technology to create what we call video poems. So it's basically a poem that we can create easily using a tool like Adobe Spark, and the kids can do it in their classrooms with their computer. You know, some schools are kind of anti-technology. My kids are at a school where technology is not encouraged until the older grades, and I think that's fairly common actually here in West County in a county like Sonoma. But other schools, technology is highly celebrated, and it is very important to most parents and teachers and the principals. And so what we can do is have a writing component to the program where kids spend some days writing three or four poems, and then they choose one that they think is their favorite, their best work. And then they spend the next few lessons putting it into the form of this video poem where they... They can choose the images. They can choose some video that comes behind it. It's like a little movie that they create with the words of the poem and a voiceover. And at the end, then they have this beautiful example of poetry married with technology that they're very proud of. It's exciting.
Yeah.
The teachers are very excited about it, and the kids are really excited about it because they get to. They're not just zonking out in front of the computer. They're using the computer as a tool to create, which is ideally what we're doing. We're not just zonking out in front of a screen.
Yeah, well, they say young boys spend about 8 hours a day in front of a screen, so might as well get something that's...
I know,
more.
Yeah, I mean, I myself am on the fence because I don't think screen time is great for kids, but if a school is doing it and they're going to do it anyway, then I think this is a fantastic way to get kids involved in technology and poetry at the same time.
But yeah, so no, that is a very powerful thing to marry those two things.
It really
the visual,
is.
The kids just love that.
They love it. Oh
yeah.
My. Yeah, it's really exciting. So yeah, we're all getting trained on this because it's just sort of taking off, you know. And that's just one example. There are others, and there are others that we haven't even discovered yet. But bringing in beats, like I think bringing in beats and getting people who are interested in spoken word. Word to be able to record something with beats behind them is another thing I'm personally interested in seeing happen.
Yeah.
Though we haven't quite I haven't done that in the classroom. There may be some poet teacher with California Poets in the Schools who is doing that.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, there are no rules.
No rules.
That's
exactly.
That's the nice thing, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, we do have a tried and true arc to our lessons that seems to really work, and we you know, we try to stick to it somewhat because it's been tried and true of the past 54 years. It just really gets kids excited and gets them creating poems. So
well, that's wonderful. Yeah, you said it started 64 in SFSU. Obviously, that was quite a fermenting place at that time in those mid-60s, wasn't it?
It was.
So I can see why that came out of there.
Yeah. And as I said, a lot of our poet teachers have been around for the duration. So, there's quite a legacy here with our organization. Yep.
My goodness, the thousands of... poems that they helped create.
Yes.
That is phenomenal.
Totally. Yeah, we have our tagline is that one poem can change a life. And you know, I really truly believe that that there's truth to that. I speak from my own experience, but I also speak for all the kids I've seen working in classrooms, that it's not often, I mean, to be honest, it's not often the straight A student who's going to excel at this. It's not the student who's trying really hard to be right at something. It's the kids who they're just willing to try something new. They're willing to put themselves out there. And oftentimes we go in the classroom and it's the kids you never would have expected who turn out to be brilliant writers. And the teachers are floored. Wow. They're amazed that was the kid who, you know, who had this in her all along and nobody ever knew it. Yeah.
Oh, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Exactly.
You know, when you can catch those, that's...
Right, yep.
That's heaven.
Yeah, and that's part of the beauty of bringing in these artists into the classroom is they get a chance to kind of look at the kids in a different lens, through a different lens, and see who's doing what through the lens of poetry, which the classroom teacher may or may not be attuned to. So, yeah, I'd say the more mentors kids can have in school, getting them excited about school, staying there, you know, something to keep them connected is really important.
Right. And relevant and, yeah, to them.
Exactly.
And that's the key. It's, you know, poetry isn't this old fusty thing that it got consigned to for so long.
Right. Yep.
You know, it's something that lives with us and vibrant.
Exactly. And I think the kids get that. I mean, the teachers get that too. Yeah, we have a residency at the juvenile hall here in Sonoma County. And there have just been some great stories coming out of there, where writing up the grant last year, the stories from juvenile hall really struck me, because the teacher who was there said the teachers there, I forget if she called them teachers or guards, but they typically had kind of a distance between themselves and the kids that was there for a reason, and they're kind of by law. And yet the poetry broke it down, and the kids started writing things that the guards were just, their jaws were on the floor, and they would put up these, they would just become engaged and aware of their job in a brand new light. So
the humanity shone
exactly
through.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And they sort of became involved in the residencies as well, and the kids got to see their humanity. It goes both ways, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, anything like that should have that ability, shouldn't it? Any incarceration or anything of that ilk.
Right.
Has got to have that humanity built in, otherwise it's never going to work, is it?
Exactly. You know? Yeah. So we do have some plans for Sonoma County. I mean, we don't have anything set in stone yet, but part of what we are hoping to do with our organization over the coming years is to really branch out a little bit more and get ourselves out of the classrooms and onto the streets. And, you know, we were up in Healdsburg the other night at the Art After Dark gathering up in Healdsburg. There's a wonderful little celebration of artists and vendors on the square. And they had an opera singer, and it was very sweet. But we set up our poetry booth, and we were basically just there inviting people to come make some poems that night. And I was it was so delightful that some people came up and they were very excited and they came right in and they had no inhibition. And the other half the people, when I went out on the street and said, "Hey, you want to come write a poem?" I could visibly see them shudder, and they're like, "Oh, I can't write poetry. I don't know how to do that. I've never been good at it." They would look the other way. And so I think we have our work set out for us to kind of to make this a more livable thing that people encounter more often, and make it a little less scary and more fun, because I think a lot of us have those sort of artistic wounds in different areas. I know I have my music wounds that I, but some people have their poetry wounds and they're not going there.
Exactly.
So our hope is to really bring more poetry out into the community, make it a more visible and engaging part of being here in Sonoma County. So, you know, I don't want to spill the beans too much, but but we'll see what happens this coming April, which is Poetry Month. We're hoping to have some new and exciting offerings for Sonoma County.
On a more sort of serious thing, obviously, with Andy Lopez, I'm just wondering how that, was there work around that poet poetry for him or because of what happened to him? Or?
You know, that's a really great question. And I'm going to be honest and say I don't know if the poet teachers dealt with that in their classrooms. I haven't heard any personal stories, but my hunch is it probably did come out. And that, you know, that brings up the fires as well. Were a huge community event that happened right in the midst of our work in the classrooms. And, you know, some of our schools were transformed overnight into emergency shelters.
Or to ashes.
Or to ashes, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, I think these community, whether they're tragedies or bright spots, things that are happening, our residencies are, there are opportunities for the kids to process these things. And, you know, Andy Lopez, I can say, I don't know whether our poet teachers invited thinking and poetry about that, but I do know that after the fires, we were not afraid to go there with the kids. You know, we got some input from people who are experts in trauma and dealing with kids. And but then we went back in and invited the kids to process this event through their poems, and they certainly did. So I think it's a great opportunity when things like that happen for the kids to take stock.
Well, definitely after those poems you read, they're so powerful. I can only imagine what came out.
Yeah. Yep.
Would you like to, before you go, would you like to read something else? Do you have something?
Have a poem that I just love by Hafiz that I would love to speak.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'd love to share this one. You may have heard this. A lot of our listeners may have heard this. So this is a poem by Hafiz, translated by Daniel Ladinsky. This is just one of my favorite poems. It's called Tired of Speaking Sweetly. Love wants to reach out and manhandle us, break all our teacup talk of God. If you had the courage and could give the beloved his choice, some nights he would just drag you around the room by your hair, ripping from your grip all those toys in the world that bring you no joy. Love sometimes gets tired of speaking sweetly and wants to rip to shreds all your erroneous notions of truth that make you fight within yourself, dear one, and with others, causing the world to weep on too many fine days. God wants to manhandle us, lock us inside of a tiny room with himself and practice his drop kick. The beloved sometimes wants to do us a great favor, hold us upside down, and shake all the nonsense out. But when we hear he is in such a playful, drunken mood, most everyone I know quickly packs their bags and hightails it out of town. I love that poem.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah, some truth to that.
Oh, my goodness. So let everyone know how they can contact you in the various ways.
Great, yeah. You can definitely check out our website, www.californiapoets.org, which will give you a good sense of what we're doing and how we're doing it. You can email me directly at info@cpits.org, info@cpits.org. And you can call us, 415-221-4201. That's the direct line to our Sonoma County office. I will say, I think I mentioned earlier, we have a virtual office now, but because I've got an audience, we are seeking an office space. So if anyone has a lead on that, here in Sonoma County, we're looking for a small office space to call home. But please do get in touch. We love hearing from the community, whether it's just to say hello or whether you're interested in getting a residency at your school. Feel free to contact me. info@cpits.org is probably the easiest one to remember.
Well, that's wonderful, Meg. Thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about an incredible organization. What a long, amazing journey it's been, and still just as relevant.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. I really had fun.
Oh, good. I'm really pleased. So glad you're here, and look forward to more.
Okay. Thank you.
More poetry.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're just too marvelous. Too marvelous for words like glorious. glamorous in that old standby amorous. It's all too wonderful. I'll never find the words that say enough. Tell enough, I mean they just aren't swell enough.